Welcome to Stress Less Obsessed, the podcast. My name is Sophie Deans, and I'm here to bring you all things on self-care, self-development, as well as lifestyle tips and hacks to keep your life as simple and stress-free as possible. So let's make a start and join me on a journey of living a life with less stress. Hello, and you're here for another episode. So welcome back if you're a regular listener now, and thank you for tuning in if you're a newbie. I hope you enjoy the show. And on today's show, I want to talk to you a little bit about personality traits, and one in particular that's very close to my heart because I relate to this personality trait. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about it. Hopefully you'll be able to resonate with this type of trait, whether you're someone who is this trait, or you just know someone, or you have someone close to you with this trait. And then hopefully you can get a bit more understanding and a bit of learning from it. So let me tell you a little bit more. I've been a little bit vague. So a HSP is what we're going to talk about today. And I know some of you, if not most of you, are thinking, I do love a good old HSP, and I do too. Good old halal snack pack. But that's not what we're talking about today. But it is an acronym for something else. And that is for highly sensitive people. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So you might be thinking of someone in particular when you think who could tick this box as a highly sensitive person. It might be yourself. So great, you'll find this really interesting, hopefully. Lots of things you can relate to. And I'll be going through what somebody who is a highly sensitive person might feel or experience, and how you can define a highly sensitive person. I'll also cover what a HSP, a highly sensitive person, might need in order to reduce stress and maintain overall balance and well-being in their life. And I will be giving a few stories of my own so that you might help you identify a bit as well, because you might not know that you are a highly sensitive person. So let's start. Let's go from the top, as good a place as any, right? So what has led me to create this episode is this week I was looking into personality traits a bit. I'm not sure how it came up. I'm always looking into lots of different things, obviously relative to the podcast, because that's where my interests lie. And I've heard of the term highly sensitive people, highly sensitive person before, and I thought, yeah, I'm probably a highly sensitive person, but I didn't really look into it too much. So I did a little bit more research this week, ended up down one of those rabbit holes, and I guess I'd already known that HSPs experience high empathy, they experience sensitivities to things like busy places, bright lights, noisy spaces, mess and clutter. And so I already knew, I can relate to that. Things like that affect me and bug me a bit, to say the least. And yeah, I actually found that something very interesting, that HSPs are only around about 15 to 20% of the population. And it's important to note that it is a trait. It isn't a mental health condition, or you can't diagnose yourself as being a HSP. It is a trait. It's more of a personality type. Okay, so just wanted to make that clear. As you know, I'm not a medical professional, so I wouldn't be able to give you any kind of help in diagnosing yourself, even if it was more of a disorder type thing. So some other things I've learned since I've dived in even deeper with HSPs are some things that you might find very interesting and that you might relate to. And I think if you are HSP, you're just gonna be like, oh my God, this sounds like me, because for me, it sums me up as a person. Sorry, just having a sip of matcha here. Okay, so HSPs, they have a heightened sensitivity to their environment and their emotions. They also tend to react strongly to stimuli, so not just negative, but positively as well. So an example may be that a HSP becomes deeply moved by art, music, being in nature, but on the same, on the same seesaw, on the same pendulum, they may feel really overwhelmed by loud noises, crowded spaces, or strong emotions. And so when I read this, I thought, I can totally relate to this. I went to the ballet a week ago, and it was beautiful. And that was the first time I've ever been to see the ballet, and it actually moved me to tears. And I'm not someone that cries easily, but I really felt really strong emotion from seeing that. I got goosebumps, and the clapping at the end, it's just beautiful, and I really enjoyed the experience. I also, despite the fact I really enjoy going to live gigs, I hate crowded spaces. So you'll usually find me making my own space if I'm out at live music and I'm not right in the middle of the crowd. So yeah, that's where I can relate. I also find that if I'm traveling on public transport, I put earphones in, and look, I know everyone does. If my earphones, which they have done, run out of battery a couple of times, and you just, if it's quite noisy, I don't enjoy that, or I end up with quite a bit of a headache. You know, if there's like crying babies, there's like people shouting, if there's a big group of people. So that's a tick for me on this one. Next up, if HSPs experience a high degree of empathy and compassion towards others, they may also be deeply affected by others' pain and suffering as well. So you might feel like you have a high degree of empathy for others and understand how they're feeling without necessarily asking them, without them telling you, just by knowing what they're going through. You kind of have an innate feeling. I can't really describe it, but it's more, you feel more than what you've been told, if that makes sense. You can relate deeper than if someone says, you know, this has happened to me recently, and you really feel it. You don't need them to say, oh, I feel awful, I'm struggling, because you already know. I hope I've explained that well enough. If you know, you know. Okay, HSPs there, you will fully understand that. But also, HSPs can be particularly sensitive to sensory inputs such as bright lights, strong smells, you know, maybe even coarse textures. So I hate bright lights. If you see my desk set up at home, I have two very dim lamps. It's in a very dark corner. I do like the windows open, but they're not right in front of me. And yeah, I can't stand a lot of people show me their phone screens to show me something, and I'm like, oh, I can't see, it's bright lights. I've actually suffered from migraines quite a lot throughout my life as well. When I've especially worked in corporate offices, and you have the fluorescent lights, and they've really affected my eyes, having tension headaches, migraines, if I'm sat there too long. So it's all about balance, really. I think this is also a reason why I love and I have benefited so much from the flotation tanks that I've been going to for, well, I don't know, 3 or 4 years now. 3 years? Because for that whole hour, your senses are completely deprived. And for someone who can get quite overwhelmed with too many thoughts, too many lights, too many everything going on, to just have nothing for an hour is really, really restorative. And if you're a new listener, or maybe you just haven't heard the episode yet, please check it out, especially if you relate to what I'm saying today, because you'll probably find that flotation episode that I've got very interesting. It's episode 4 of the podcast, so just roll back afterwards and have a listen to that one. You might find that super useful and you might want to give it a try. Okay, well, where are we? Strong smells. Yep. So I think HSPs tend to prefer environments that are more calm, are quiet, and free from that excessive stimulation. And they're also quite sensitive to changes and transitions. I mean, don't get me wrong, I do like to freshen up my routine, but when change is forced upon me, I do get a bit like, oh, I don't like change, especially I get quite attached to what I know and what I've been doing. But I mean, even things like positive changes, like entering a new relationship and trying to relate to someone new, I actually find that quite stressful. And I've mentioned that to other people in the past and they've been like, what? No, the beginning of a relationship is the most exciting part. And I'm like, really? I find it the most stressful because you don't know what's going on. You're trying to figure each other out. It can be a bit awkward. So that's I guess, a bit of a change and a transition. And that's something I can relate to. Maybe you have other kind of changes and transitions you're a bit sensitive to if you're starting to realize you're a HSP as well. HSPs also may have a strong sense of intuition, and they often rely on their instincts when making decisions or assessing situations. So they may notice subtle cues or changes in their environment that a lot of other people overlook. Again, sorry, I can vouch for this. I think I notice things and I might mention them to someone like, oh, did I kind of got the vibe that, you know, somebody felt like they had to rush off, or, and they'd be like, oh, why would you think that? And I'm like, well, I just got the feeling they kind of looked a little bit uncomfortable, or, you know, you just pick up on subtle hints. And yeah, or there's been times where I've had a bad vibe for a place and I'm like, oh, I'm not sure about this. I just get a feeling, you know, the people, and then something bad has actually happened. So that's just off the top of my head, something that I can think about. But there may be things that you pick up on and then you relay them to other people and they've not picked up on that. And then you end up being right. That could also show that you're more of a highly sensitive person. Because don't forget, it's a spectrum, okay? Everyone is not just you're sensitive or you're not. It's people more sensitive than others. And then we've got the highly sensitive people that are just like way more sensitive in terms of what's going on around them. And another identifier is to do with the depth of processing. And by that, I mean how information is processed around highly sensitive people and that they reflect on it deeply. So I saw when I was looking about this that there's actually markers on the brain that shows there's more areas of the brain working in highly sensitive people that's why I guess there's more depth of processing because more areas of the brain are working. But it also shows when I'm talking about reflecting that these people, including myself, may be prone to overthinking at times. Okay, so if that rings a bell here for you, they're more introspective and thoughtful, and they seek meaning and understanding in interactions or relationships. I guess I can relate as well, not big on small talk. I like making meaningful conversations with people, with things that I find interesting. I get very bored and I don't tend to entertain just talking to somebody just for the sake of it. See, again, you could relate to that as well. Some people love meeting new people and love just, you know, seeing what it involves. But I'm more of a person that if I start talking to someone and it doesn't seem to be not necessarily deep, but you're just wasting time, does that make sense? Then I feel a little bit like I have to get out of there. Not a great networker, unless it's about something that I find interesting, very interesting. Or the person is someone that is similar to me that I can relate to. Decisions can also be difficult. I'm really not a very good decision maker at all, unless I've had pre-work beforehand. Maybe I've sat in my float for an hour mulling something over and I come out with, okay, I'm gonna decide to go in this direction, or I'm gonna decide to do this, or I'm gonna decide to do that. So indecision is another big one. And it can be easier to go with the flow to avoid decision making. And this kind of links to the next thing that I want to talk about. HSPs don't enjoy conflict. I mean, really, who does? But they tend to seek harmony in their relationships. They don't tend to like to rock the boat. People pleasers, anyone? Do we have any people pleasers here? Because I used to be a people pleaser. That's something I've worked on a lot. I'm going to mention another episode here that I've done on the podcast so far. And it was around saying no, having boundaries. And it says it's for people pleasers, because I used to be somebody that would be like, yes, yes, felt like I had to say yes to everything someone asked me, and felt obliged, felt like a bad person if I didn't, you know, go along to something I was invited to, even though I really needed some downtime, for example. As something I guess I don't find it necessarily easy now to do, I do sometimes have a little sense of guilt, but I know that I feel better in myself for having my boundaries and sticking by them. And I know there's definitely less resentment. If you do something because you feel you have to, and then you have resentment, that's not good for your relationships. So if you want to hear more on that, you can head over to episode 11 of the podcast. After this one, obviously, not just yet. And okay, yeah, so people pleasing, you can hear more there. But HSPs may also have a strong appreciation for art, music, beauty, enjoy creative pursuits. They also enjoy finding solace and inspiration in creative expression. And again, I don't need to go in too much to that, but I can completely relate to that. And I've also found some research that suggests that HSPs may need more sleep. Yes, love that. That is me 100%. Ask my partner, ask my friends. I'm very, very precious over my sleep. I always have been. Just trying to think when I first got into the real working world and I had to be up nice and early for my hour and a half journey into London every day, I'd still make sure that I went to bed so I had at least 8 hours sleep. And for me, that was early. Like, if I could have got myself to bed earlier, I would have. That was me, you know, having the feeling like I'm having a late night and getting up at literally the last minute to roll out of bed so I could get as much sleep as possible. And nowadays, because even when I first moved to Melbourne, I didn't have that far to travel, so I would get at least 9 hours sleep every day. And now I'm not having to be up at any particular time. I wake up naturally. I don't set an alarm, and my body naturally wakes up on the 9 hours on the dot or just after. So I know my body needs at least 9 hours sleep. I don't yawn throughout the day. I'm not tired. I have enough energy. I feel good. I don't wake up groggy. However, when I went to New Zealand recently, you know, we had quite a lot of driving to do to get from one place to the other. And there were, you know, quite a few early mornings involved, which is fine. Like, obviously, I'm happy to do that. I had a great time. But I felt it. So, you know, 6 or 7 hours sleep for me, I'm like definitely feeling like I need an early night that night, because I know what happens. It snowballs and I feel like I can't catch up. I'm tired for the whole week. It takes me like a week to catch up. And I really, again, it's a bit of a sensitivity, but I notice, really, really notice a difference, even if I just get an hour less sleep or if I have like a big weekend. It takes me a few days to catch up. So you also might find this familiar. I know there are people out there that are probably listening and like, oh my gosh, I'm lucky if I get 5 hours. And I'm very sorry. I know if you have kids, if you have puppies, like when I had a puppy, it took a while to get a good night's sleep. But yeah, I know not everyone, if you struggle as well with insomnia, that's not fun either. And I really, really feel for you. But if you are someone that can do something about it and you're really thinking a lot of these boxes that you're starting to tick, then maybe you want to look at making sure you do get more sleep, going to bed earlier, and seeing what your actual natural waking and sleep cycle is and seeing if you can adapt to that. If you can't, maybe you want to think about just prioritizing more downtime so you're getting a bit more rest, even if it's not sleeping. Doing things like reading can be really relaxing, and I love reading. I find it prepares me for bed, actually. Even being in nature is really restorative. Listening to music. If you loved Netflix and chill, then do that. Whatever is going to restore you and fill your cup a bit more. Talking of cups, sorry about that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Brings me to the last point. And it's the reason I wanted to talk about highly sensitive people in the first place. All of their heightened sensitivities and the fact that they may become easily overwhelmed in busy and chaotic and stressful situations and environments. Like, how do you cope with that? So before we get onto that, the point here is that HSPs may actually need a little bit more time than other people in order to recharge and in order to recover from sensory, social, or emotional overload. I want to make the point that not everyone who shows one or more of these characteristics is necessarily a highly sensitive person. But, however, if you notice a consistent pattern of these behaviors in yourself, maybe in somebody else, it may just suggest that they do have a heightened sensitivity here, to both environments and emotions. If it's something you want to approach someone about, Just ensure you do so with empathy and understanding, okay? We're all unique. We all have our different quirks, our different differences, and that's what makes us great. So, you know, don't go ahead and try it making sound like you're insulting somebody, because there's nothing here to be insulting anyone about. It's great. Okay, so look, now we've identified what it is to be a HSP, I wanted to share what exactly we people need as HSPs in order to maintain balance, happiness, and to cope with this potential overwhelm and stress that might occur a little bit more easily with us. So number one, ensure that you have time to relax and unwind after a busy day or a stressful week. Don't go booking up every evening or every weekend jam-packed and, you know, full of stuff so that you just have to roll into the next week, because you will end up feeling completely burnt out. I've done that in the past, and some people love that. I have a friend who's always out and about, always busy. She thrives off the energy of other people, and what works for her would absolutely kill me. So just do what feels good for you. And I think it's just about being conscious. And, you know, if you do have a really busy week of socializing, for example, just take note, how did that feel for you? Did that light you up or did it drain you? And then it's just about noticing and then making adjustments so that in the future you don't end up feeling drained, you end up thriving. And so you might then decide that you need to, number two, embrace the slow life. I can tell you now, I've embraced the slow life and it's definitely more at a pace that suits me. So as a HSP, you or the person you may know might prefer to live at a slower pace. They might hate rushing around. And like I say, you just have to work that out. Being a people pleaser usually is a recipe for not living the slow life, pushing your boundaries, and then burning out. Once you've decided if you do need some more relaxed time, you actually need a place to unwind, right? So for me, I've only ever done share houses when I was at uni, and that was because I had no choice. A share house for me sounds great. It's got its pros, but it also sounds like hell for me because there's not necessarily many spaces I can go to unwind. Of course, you know, you have your own room, but you might be faced with noise, mess in the communal spaces. You might have people knocking on your doors, for example. So finding somewhere, you might have to go outside of your home if you do live in a share house and you're relating to a lot of these points. My home has to be my sanctuary. In fact, when I was living alone, I very rarely had people over. It was my spot to chill out. And if I was feeling social, that's when I would go out. To having somewhere you know you can fully relax, and especially if you're in a busy, noisy, perhaps messy home with not much control over it, if you have children, if you have noisy neighbours, maybe your partner's very noisy and messy, just make sure you have somewhere you can go. Set the boundaries as well, where you can say, I'm just going into my room, or I'm going into the garden for an hour. I'd really appreciate it if you could just give me that time to unwind. I think that's really important. For me, I enjoy dim lighting, relaxing colours, cozy feeling, you know, cushions, throws. And even my desk is dim lit, and I find I'm most productive when I'm in an environment that's tidy. Okay, number four, fix yourself a calming nighttime routine. this will really set you up for a nice deep sleep. And as a HSP, I feel like the benefits, at least in myself, are very deep rooted in sleep. So my routine ensures I get into bed with my Kindle on a dim screen. Obviously, it's on dark mode. I find it really helps to regulate my nervous system. The room's nice and quiet. I generally prefer to shower at night if I can too. It gets me off of the laptop at night time, gets me off of my phone. It's relaxing. I have my lavender soap. I also have a lavender pillow spray. You'll also want to perhaps relook at your bedtime schedule, like I mentioned earlier, and maybe review your morning alarm so that you're not rushing around in the morning, you're not just rolling out of bed, running through the door, and you're actually getting as much sleep as possible. Okay, so maybe you have your slow start to the morning. Do you need a cup of coffee to sit down before you start work or before you leave for work? I know a lot of people that have kids tend to, once they get a little bit older, they try and wake up before the whole house. So they just get half an hour, maybe an hour to themselves, even if it means waking up at 5 a.m. So just see what works for you. You just want to be waking up more refreshed. Naturally, it would be amazing, but not everyone has the luxury of that. I did do a whole episode on sleep and how you can improve your sleep routine, but also the hygiene practices before getting into bed as well. So that's episode 6. Oh my God, so many plugs for my podcast today. But yes, highly recommend that one. I think everyone can always improve their sleep. So if you do one thing, you pick up one tip to improve your sleep, you'll probably notice a huge difference. Ensure downtime. Number 5, I feel like we've already touched on that. You know, make sure that you have some downtime. If you're someone, I know in the past I used to go to the office, then I'd head straight to a class, straight from the office. Then I'd come home, I'd cook dinner, and then I'd look at the time. I'd be like, I need a shower, and then I'm going to bed. And don't get me wrong, my class would be great, but I kind of felt like I didn't have time to just relax. You know, it's kind of, it's a creative work. My aerial yoga class, I love it, but it's not rest. So having half an hour to read, even, you know, you just need some downtime to do something that's actually restful. It could literally be Netflix and chill, but just making time for that, because I feel like this is huge. We go through life with all the things we have to do and we don't prioritize downtime. Sometimes now I deprioritize the things that usually I would be like, I need to do that, I need to do that. And I'm like, no, I need to prioritize downtime. If that means that I can't do something else today, then I know it means I'll have a more productive day tomorrow if I make sure I have that time just to rest and restore. Number 6, a routine. And a routine like having regular meals is really good for HSPs to ensure energy and moods aren't dipping. I used to really feel like my blood sugar would drop quite dramatically. I feel like I just don't get that anymore. I always have, you know, healthy, balanced meals, which helps if you're reaching for junk food and highly processed foods. They're not going to stabilize your blood sugar anyway. So, you know, that is half of the problem. I think it's a bit like, for example, if you were having a few coffees a day, and then a stressful situation came on. As a highly sensitive person, you're probably going to feel and react more strongly to that anyway. And then having that much caffeine in your system is just going to really make things so much more intense. And the same as if you haven't eaten and your blood sugar's dropping and you're already starting to feel a bit, you know, like, hangry, maybe, I don't know. That's not going to help. So I think, obviously, for everyone, healthy, balanced meals, regular meal times are optimal, but it's something that could really help with you dealing with your emotions and your feelings if you are a HSP. 7, nurturing your connections. We're nearly done, by the way. I have one more point after this. Nurture your connections. So as I said, I can relate to, as a HSP, having, needing deep and meaningful conversations, which also means deep and meaningful relationships. So you may find you have a smaller group of friends and they're close friends rather than a big group of acquaintances. There is no right or wrong. If you aren't a HSP and you do prefer having a big group of friends, but actually you're not super close, there's no right or wrong here. None is better than the other. But HSPs, if you do have a very close group of friends, it's important to nurture those connections. Like a growing garden, ensure there is that safe channel of communication that enables you to speak freely without people pleasing, so that you can uphold your own boundaries and you can do this without feeling unsafe or that a conflict will arise, because we all know HSPs don't like conflict. So yeah, just ensuring if you do have those close group of friends, make sure you nurture them and pay attention to them to keep them growing, keep them alive. 8, take time when dealing with stressful situations. I mean, take the day off work if you need to, and if you can. If not, try and carve some time to rest and recharge. It will help your productivity, even if you're super busy. If you're super busy, you especially need time, downtime, rest and recharge time. So take it. Maybe you're going through something in your personal life. If you've just got back from a holiday, you might suffer with jet lag. Don't feel the need to be at everybody else's pace. Maybe everyone else you know is like, can get through things much quicker than you. It's about being kind to yourself. And so I can safely say that I can really relate to all of the points above that I've mentioned, and I've worked through a lot of them to find more balance and equilibrium in my life now. So it feels good. I wake up naturally. I plan my day on my own terms and my own pace. I don't feel bad for not putting myself in stressful situations. It allows me to actually give more to others. And I've learned how to assert my boundaries in a way where I'm just being honest, and I have close friends that are understanding enough to appreciate that, and it allows them to feel that they can assert their boundaries too. So it's a two-way thing. It's really great. And this all comes down to authenticity, and I'll definitely speak a lot more about that in a later episode. So what else? I think I've learned as well from knowing myself, because the first step is knowing yourself, identifying yourself, and then you can adapt to that. So now I make time for only people who light me up. They're energy givers, not energy drainers, because I only have a certain amount of time in my social calendar, because I need to have downtime, I need to have work time, I need to have time with my partner. So I don't have time for people that are literally just going to sap my energy. They are time wasters. Time is money, my friend. No, it's not. But you know what I mean. They're draining my cup instead of filling my cup, and all my time sleeping, of course. So I could be doing something that brightens my life a bit more, doing something creative at home, cooking, baking, whatever. And Now I actually have fantastic sleep about 90% of the time, 95 maybe. And if I don't, I know the culprit because I'm in tune with my body. I'm in tune with what gets me a good night's sleep. I've recently noticed that having chocolate at night before bed interferes with my sleep. It's happened about, oh, I don't know, 3 times in the past week now, only on those nights. And that I'm in tune with that and I know that. So I've stopped having chocolate that late at night. I also used to suffer regularly with migraines. I now barely ever get one. I did have one the other day and I know what that was, bright screens related. But apart from that, I mean, before I used to get a migraine once a month and now I get them once per year, maybe twice at a push, and that would have been in the last 3 years. I also know how to unwind. I know what hobbies I enjoy. I nearly said hobbit then. So I think a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I didn't have too many hobbies. I didn't really know what my hobbies were, and that's fine. But it's actually quite exciting because if you're at that stage where you're like, I don't really have any hobbies or I don't really know what I enjoy, that's so exciting because that means you get to go out there and explore all of these things to find out what your hobby is. So I would highly encourage you to do that because you may find a passion in there. You will potentially find something that's going to light you up that you'll stick with for the rest of your life. Maybe you will, maybe you won't, but you'll learn a huge amount about yourself as well. And hopefully you'll meet some new friends, make new connections. I think it's a great opportunity. I think that's really good for you to explore. And even if you do have a hobby, go out and find more. You know, discover more things that light you up and add to your life. Well, like, I'm sorry, this is a really long episode. I think this might be the longest one on the podcast yet. So I'm going to cut it off before you fall asleep. Hopefully not. But yeah, if these sound like you as a HSP or someone you know, maybe like, I know a HSP or two, I hope it's giving you a bit of a better insight so you know how to cope or to offer support. I just want to quickly recap again, just so you can, you know, have a bit of a summary. HSPs, they have heightened sensitivity to their environment and their emotions. They react strongly to stimuli, both positive and negative, for example, art, music, and nature. And they have a high degree of empathy and compassion. They're particularly sensitive to sensory inputs such as bright lights, strong smells, or coarse textures. And they're also particularly sensitive to changes and transitions. HSPs may have a strong intuitive sense. They often rely on instincts to make decisions. They have a depth of processing that's higher, and that means like deeply processing information and then reflecting. They avoid conflict. They can be people pleasers. And HSPs, this, I don't know, did I tell you it was research suggested they may need more sleep? It was scientifically based. I think that's very important. Between 9 and 12 hours sleep, potentially. They become overwhelmed in busy, chaotic, and stressful situations. And in order to help a HSP, you should look to ensure you have time to relax and unwind. Embrace a slower paced life. Have a place to unwind and have a calming nighttime routine. Ensure you have downtime, not just sleep time. Routines like healthy eating, meal times is really positive and beneficial. nurturing connections that enable you to speak freely and uphold your boundaries. And lastly, take extra time to yourself at your own pace when you're in the midst of stressful situations. Okay, I think that is all today. So I hope this has been really interesting. I would love to know if you are one of the 15 to 20% out there that is a HSP and you can join the HSP club. So please comment, please comment, and definitely follow the podcast if you haven't already, or subscribe. All right. There's also a community group on Facebook. You can search, it's actually in the link on my bio on Instagram, and you can come and join the Calm Collective. If you're a HSP, you'll definitely find this super interesting and super, super supportive because it is a community group. Anyway, thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed. I'll catch you next time. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram, StressLessObsessed. And thanks for listening. Until next time, breathe and stress less.